Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Just made it in under the wire, so let's see how this goes. It's the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so one popped up there yesterday morning. Hopefully you got over there to check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? Yeah, see, I didn't even have time to check to see if this brought Dan in. Okay, well, we'll try this again here and see if we can get Dan to come into the podcast. There we go. You're there now. How you doing, Dan?
Oh, I have three E's in Dan's Man on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know what the problem was. You know, I called in on the phone, and it kept telling me that, you know, it didn't hear me push the pin to get in. You didn't push enough buttons on your phone to get in, so I had to jump on and get the Direct Connect to hook me up so we could get going. And with as bad as my internet connection is, yeah, I figure if we get 15 or 20 minutes today, we'll be lucky. So... Oh, good Lord. See, and I didn't even get to do any of my pre-show stuff, so I'm way behind now.
Of course.
But all right, well, let's jump in with the fun one, because I'm kind of interested to get your take on this. And sadly, I am under the impression that we will not have a baseball season this year after all this crap. You know, the owner sent a proposal to the one proposal to the players that wasn't very well liked. Apparently, they sent another one, including big pay cuts, especially for the higher paid players. No surprise that they all came back and didn't like it. We're pretty much done here, right, Dan? We're not gonna, unfortunately, not gonna get a baseball season.
I don't think so. I mean, so it's there's two sides of the coin, I think, here. And you know, I heard the Chicago guys, they weren't happy with it. Of course, they're former players, so they don't like the owners. You know, the owners won't have a game to play without the players, but players won't also have millions of dollars to play a game without the owners. So, you know, it's just that excuse is tired. You know, you could be upset all you want, but what are we talking about here? We're talking about negotiation. So when you negotiate, the first deal is never accepted, regardless of what it is. So, of course, the owners are going to throw out a lowball thing. But, you know, I guess it's the union president, Stewart, whatever, is trying to put the owners on blast and telling them to reveal their, you know, their financials for the last year or so, and, you know, bringing that stuff up. And it's like, you know, it just reminds me of our last presidential election. You know, everyone wanted Donald Trump and to release his financials for the year, is whatever, I forgot, what, you know, the whole big deal, but there's a difference. It's private, you know? You know, the president didn't make his living off of public money. Well, I mean, I guess technically he did, but, you know, off of our taxpayer money. He didn't have to do that, you know, unlike the former president, or Hillary Clinton, because that's how she makes all her money, except for all those book tours that people stay in. But, you know, the same thing with the owners. The teams aren't publicly traded, so they don't have to put all this out there. And the thing I find even funnier is, yeah, they want to put them on blast and throw that out there, but if the league was publicly traded, it would still be the same thing. All the financials would be out there, and we would see everything, and guess what? There wouldn't be a single difference because investors would still want to get their money. And that's the other thing. You know, it's just because the Ricketts own it, it's still kind of a group thing, you know? Like, so you could put that out there, but that doesn't – it's not going to sway anything. And like you and I discussed last week, at the end of the day, the owners are always going to be, you know, the bad guys. So they could put whatever deal they want out there, and no one's ever going to be happy with it. So, but I do think it's kind of funny because if you limit the amount of games, you drop the money that they would get paid for the games. And then I heard a thing all of a sudden now that the players want to try to squeeze in 100 games this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, how does that work, fellas? Because you guys don't want to, you know, your union, you guys don't want to do double headers, scheduled double headers. So, how's that one?
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen anything, you know, the players have mentioned. I did see the 100 game thing, and I was just kind of like, oh, okay, how are we going to do this? But, you know, apparently they have some kind of plan somewhere, you know, which is kind of interesting, you know, considering – in reality, they never want to play any games. You know, I can understand why they're upset with this, because I mean we're talking big pay cuts here. You know, I saw where it's a guy who makes $10 million would only get $2.9 million this year. So, you know, and like you said, though, a lot of it has to do with the fact that it is just the first negotiation. So you're going to get these outrageous, as you would look at them, kind of claims, you know, as they try to work these things out. But, you know, I honestly saw it more as this is the owner's way to try to split the union, because what this is going to do is it's going to put player against player. You know, it's going to put the rich guys who can afford to, oh, well, if we don't play, it's no big deal. You know, I can kick back and count my money. Where if you're a second or maybe, you know, third year guy, you don't quite have that luxury. So it seemed to me more as if that's just what they were trying to do was, hey, let's let these guys fight amongst themselves. You know, and we'll not worry about it. Then we can sit back and laugh at them.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, though, you know, it's got to be an agreement on both sides. But it does have to come down to the players. You know, at the end of the day, it's not going to be the players providing the resolution. It's going to be the owners giving a resolution, you know, a solution, and them putting it together and saying, we don't like this, we don't like this. We like this, we like that. So it doesn't matter either way how these negotiations work out. It's always going to be the owners coming to the players, you know, kind of like, hey guys, do you want to play? Here's what we thought. You know, and then, I mean, it is, like you said, it is a bait to get the players to fight amongst each other, but there is a huge discrepancy in that. And, you know, I heard someone bringing up the, you know, holding back, like with the Bryce Harper offseason, you know, Manny Machado and everyone holding out and things like that. But, you know, I still think it's fair because at the end of the day, the only one that's going to stand up and speak out publicly and is going to be in favor of the players, regardless of anything, and that's the media. You know, so, you know, take a guy like you and I. I'm very fortunate. I know you are too, but I'm sure you would have enjoyed, you know, regular time off instead of, you know, sick pay. But, you know, you and I both were able to work through this whole pandemic. there's a lot of people that weren't, and a lot of those people were baseball fans. And a lot of those people that are baseball fans that didn't have a job during this process, this pandemic, guess what? They're not getting paid. So when you hear billionaires fighting with millionaires, do you think the rest of us really care? I don't feel sorry for either side. Either way it works out, I don't feel sorry for either side, because what they'll make in 1 week of baseball, I'd be happy to make, in a year.
Yeah, that always makes it tough. I just want them to, give me the damn game back. I'm tired of this. We don't make enough when we're making millions of dollars, and it's just such BS. That I get sick of it. But in all fairness, I can understand a player not wanting to give back money if they're playing the game. If you're not playing, it's kind of like, well, okay, you're kind of paying me to do nothing, which obviously is a great gig if you can get it. I just don't know how you get that. So, we have to see, but yeah, obviously you still get the few that come off like morons, because no matter which way you look at it, Blake Snell came off like a complete idiot.
Yeah.
You can't sugarcoat that. I know people have tried, and I heard somebody today bring it up that, if you look back, Blake Snell was right. Well, no, he wasn't. But, if it makes you feel better, okay, he was right, if that's what you need to, get yourself through whatever it is you're trying to get through. But, yeah, I don't get the, the BS that comes along with it. It's just, it gets to be too much to take after a while, and it's like, I just want to play the damn game.
Yeah, and putting the players against the players, I don't think it's a horrible thing, because it makes the union look at itself and look at who they're representing. Because, let's be honest, not everyone is deserving of the high Mike Trout pay, but at the same time, is Mike Trout really deserving of that pay? He's on a team that hasn't gone to a playoff. Hasn't gone to a championship. The last time they made it to the playoffs, they were ousted by the wild card team. So,
were they the wild card team?
No, well, the Royals were the wild card team, and not the Mets in 2014. So, obviously, we don't want this socialistic world that some of our nation is pushing towards, but. There has to be a little bit more of some kind of leverage between them, So, that could be brought up too, because it takes 9 players to win the championship, not one. And I'm not picking on Mike Trout. I'm just picking on him because he has the highest contract.
Well, does he, or is, well, I think Harper or Machado may be ahead of him
right
now.
But, you know what I mean. So there also has to be some balance there. I don't know. To me, I'd say at this point, we're going to have, 2 more weeks of negotiations possibly. So you're telling me that everyone, all 30 teams, we got 30, right? Yeah, 30 teams times 25 are all going to be just packed up and ready to go on June 12th to fly to Arizona or Florida to do 2 weeks of spring training and start the season around July 4th weekend.
Yeah.
I don't see that. I don't see that happening.
That's what they're telling you. You don't believe that?
Yeah, I don't see it happening. Hey, players, everyone get your bags packed and crap ready to go, because you might be called to duty.
So I don't know. I just think, you know, they'll be all set and happy to go and get out there and, you know, be ready to run, you know. So, but yeah, I, you know, like I said, the more I heard yesterday and the more I listened to it, it's clearly just a tactic from the owners. And, you know, like I said, I honestly just believe they want to get the players to kind of turn on each other. And, you know, this is obviously a good way to do it, because you can go, well, hey, look, the only reason we're not playing is because your union brother, who makes, you know, $30 million a year, wasn't willing to take a pay cut so we could pay you.
It's what parents do every day, right?
Right. Well, you know, well, in a way.
Going. We'd be going,
you
this
know?
Weekend, but your brother decided
yep.
to.
So, you know, I mean, that, you know, that's definitely stuff that, you know, that does happen. You know, it's just kind of like, well, you know, we were going to do this, but, you know, since the, you know, one of the things they used to do at work, they stopped doing it now because of something just like this. What they used to do is, like, you know, if your department had perfect attendance or if everybody was on time, or, you know, whatever you could work out at that Friday, they would buy you something. You know, you would get a, you know, sometimes it was pizza, but normally it was smaller stuff than that, you know, candy or fruit, depending on who your boss was and how healthy they wanted to be. You know, but what they realized is when somebody misses a day and you don't get that reward, that person gets singled out. Well, we're not getting it because you were late, or we're not getting it because you didn't show up. So, you know, and this kind of reminded me very much of that, when it's just kind of like, well, we're not getting it because Mike Trout wouldn't take a pay cut or Bryce Harper wouldn't take a pay cut. And, you know, I know Max Scherzer put up a gigantic, I think it was Twitter post, that a lot of people have attributed to Scott Boras. I didn't go through and read it, but, you know, Scherzer's a Boras client, and it did sound very much, you know, the excerpts I've heard sounded very Scott Boras-ish. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if he's working through good old Max there.
Well, he sent out a big letter, I guess, or email. I'm assuming he didn't send a letter, but to all of his clients, which the local guys were like, no, be careful. He did not send it out to the whole league, just his clients. And the other guy's like, isn't that half the league? But so he did send out something. And, of course, you know, doing what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Don't accept any pay cuts from the owners. Blah, blah, blah. You want your money. I want my money. But, you know, in defense of the players, though, too, they came to an agreement in March with the owners on how they would be prorated. And, you know, how can you go back on that? But the terms were different then, because the owners, and much like the rest of us, believe that the league would probably only be delayed maybe a few weeks, at most a month, and there'd be fans in the stadium. So, I mean, the teams are going to have a bankroll. They're going to have their money saved. But how much of a difference? What's going to happen next year? So they pay everyone the full price. They host 100 games. So, you know, your team hosts 50 games, you know, around that number, and you're drawing in absolutely no revenue. So how does that work well for both sides come the future?
Well, you know, the
owners
obviously
have to
the way
into all their funds.
Yeah, you know, the way it works is obviously the players who are under contract are going to get their money. But, you know, it goes back to what you and I talked about before. You know, and again, I'll throw Mookie Betts out there, because he's going to be the most sought-after free agent. And oddly, you know, after the last time you and I brought this up and I talked to you about this, Peter Gammons came out and talked about the exact same thing you and I talked about. So obviously we're on the right track here with this. You know, the problem becomes he's not getting that $300 million contract that he's going to think he deserves. So, I mean, if you want to cry collusion, I don't think it's going to work this time because there's, you know, there's going to be too much of this out there to be able to, you know, say the owners colluded against you. You know, they're going to have too much evidence where it's like, well, no, we couldn't do it because of this. So, you know, I mean, you've got to wonder. I mean, there were some guys I know, you know, JT Realmuto had a pretty good offer from the Phillies that he turned down. You know, he'll be a free agent. It, you know, is that going to, you know, how's that going to affect him? You got a guy like, you know, DJ LeMahieu signed that short-term deal with the Yankees. He had an MVP season last year. You know, if he came back with a year similar to that, he would be looking at a big payday on the free agent market that obviously he's not going to get now. You know, I mean, there's just no way any of that money is going to be out there. The same thing for a guy like Michael Brantley. You know, he signed kind of a two-year prove-you-can-stay-healthy deal with the Astros, had a really good year last year. If he does it again, he could have been a $20 to $25 million a year player for a team. Not going to happen now. So, you know, I mean, great. You know, the Blake Snells and the Bryce Harpers and the Manny Machados are going to get paid. And these guys are going to be left out to dry.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a weird situation that it's unprecedented. So, you know, to sit here and just, and I think it goes both ways, to sit here and just blame the owners and then, you know, put the blame on the players. I don't, it's really not that fair because you think about it. Yeah, the owners have all the money and they put together the team. There's a lot more that goes into it. But one thing that neither side, the union or those owners have is any kind of data or experience with a situation like this. Of course, you know, you have the last strike of 94, but they're striking, so you don't get paid. So, you know, it's really not a comparison. So it's just, it's unprecedented, and I think, you know, the fighting, I wouldn't even say there's fighting. You know, let me take that back. The negotiations have to happen, and I think what ends up happening is you get guys in the media who just start throwing stuff out there, and they're the ones who get everyone so riled up. You know, you said Blake Snell did this, his comment on Twitch. Well, I'm sure he was annoyed when he got whatever communication from the league, you know, maybe his agent, but if I were these agents, I'd be all on top of this. I'd be calling my guys individually and telling them to shut the hell up. Don't say anything.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to imagine when he was on Twitch, he's probably getting crap from fans, you know, friends that follow him, from media that's in Florida. Like, well, what do you think about this? Well, you know, the owner, this was leaked out today that your guys aren't going to get paid. You know what I mean? And that's what ends up happening is I think part of it is the media incites some of it. So, and in kind of entraps and entices the players that maybe be a little bit more emotional, which I think that's what Blake Snell, you know, probably was. Just emotional at the time because, you know, at the end of the day, whether they're making 500 or, you know, 500,000 and they've got a family, you know, they're still worried about that stuff and how am I going to pay my bills. And when you get up to that top too, I think they forget about what it's like to live down here. So, you know, it is what it is, but, you know, it's unprecedented. And I think everyone just needs to sit back and chill because I would love to see this game go get back to normal and play, but, you know, of course, I'm concerned, like, is it just going to be a season for fun? Because what does the championship really mean? this year.
Yeah, you know, like to me, you know, no matter who wins the World Series, I mean, obviously it's going to look good on that team's, you know, history, but, you know, to me there's going to be an asterisk that goes along with it because, you know, and especially if they only play the 82 games, you know, it's just going to be kind of like, really, this is it? You know, I just don't see it as being a viable season. So, you know, we'll kind of have to, you know, have to see how it is. But, you know, you did bring up, you know, an interesting point is, you know, you do wonder if maybe some of these guys have forgotten what it's like, or, you know, in reality, a lot of these guys don't know what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck. And to be fair, I mean, even when the game gets back up and going and they say, okay, you can have fans in the stands, how many people are going to be able to afford to go? Dan, like you mentioned, you've been able to work from home through this, but a lot of people don't have that option and are just sitting at home, you know, waiting for their unemployment because, of course, no surprise, our state screwed that all up. You know, I mean, who's, you know, if you're not, you know, if you didn't have a little cash in the bank before this all started, are you going to be able to afford to go to these games with ticket prices the way they are?
I think the key that you said is a little bit of money in the bank, and I do have a little bit more than I did previously because we, you know, weren't going out or spending anything. But, you know, even with that, do I really want to shell out the money? Because, like you said, if I want to go, maybe the White Sox won't be a problem. You know, there's my bad joke. But, you know, say we do get to go to the game, you know, for the people who were out of work. You got your tickets, maybe, you know, someone gifted them to you or you got caught a good deal. You know, how does that completely change? You know, I don't drink beer, so that won't affect me one bit. And, you know, if I go to a game, my wife and I, if we go to a game, we actually zero them out, you know, because we're not really buying a whole lot of crap there. But, you know, if I'm a beer drinker, am I really going to shell out the $6 to $10 anymore? You know, I could normally go to a game and shell out $100 or more for alcohol just for myself. But, you know, like you said, this time around, well, maybe I'll have one because we drank in the parking lot. I'm not condoning that if they don't offer that, you know. But, you know, that's another part of it. It's going to be a huge change. And, you know, I think my biggest question for you, Big Jack, is what do you anticipate for attendance, even if it is, you know, not alone just people not having the money, but still that fear of this, you know, virus, you know, are we still going to see stadiums selling out?
You know, I think, well, you know, right off the bat, I don't think we will, but that'll be more economic than it will be people paranoid about being sick. I mean, you know, I'm sure you've seen the pictures or the videos where, you know, there are a lot of people who just can't wait to get out, you know, and whether it's going to be safe or not, they're not going to care. They just want to get out. You know, I mean, you know, how many pictures have you seen of the states that are opened up where the bar is full and people are sitting on next to each other? Or there was that pool party where they ended up having like thousands of people show up or something like that. And, you know, they were elbow to elbow. So, you know, people are going to want to get out. Unfortunately, it probably won't be here in Illinois because I don't think your governor or the mayor of Chicago is going to allow it. But, you know, in these other states, I think they'll do okay as long as you can afford to go to the game. And, you know, again, that's, you know, we start to add it up because, like you mentioned, beer, if you drive to the game, you got to pay for parking. You know, so there's all these little aspects, you know, are you eating at the game? You know, are you, like you mentioned, you know, again, are you drinking? Where are you sitting? So, you know, you're going to run up a fat tab. And I just don't know right off the bat how many people are going to be able to afford that. So I don't think we'll see the sellouts right away. I think it takes a little time to get back to that. But kind of on that notion, Dan, you know, the A's have already – they didn't pay rent for this month. They've informed their minor league players that at the end of this month they will stop being paid. Are we in the area, do you think, yet where we may have to contract a couple small market teams?
I mean, when do they take a serious look at it?
I was hoping you knew.
No. Well, and that's the question, you know, who's the commissioner of baseball?
Rob Manfred.
I can't think of his name. Rob Manfred, probably because I'm trying to forget it. You know, he's over time, I think, just blatantly denied any discussions about that. Ooh, it can go either way with expansions or, like you said, subtracting teams. But, you know, it becomes hard. You know, I think it all depends on something. I'm trying to really get a good pinpoint on it, but it's just, you know, I don't disagree with you. You know, when do you take a team like the Oakland Rays and move them? Same with the Tampa Bay Rays. You know, the city already denied helping a new stadium, so that team.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you start to look at it, I mean, you know, the A's have been a moneyball team for a while trying to do their best to save everything. So you got to wonder where they sit. You know, Tampa Bay can't – even though Tampa Bay wins, they can't draw flies for, you know, whatever reason. You know, nobody wants to go to the games there. You know, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, you look at those teams, they're always struggling at, you know, at the end there. I mean, the Pirates haven't been competitive since when? McCutchen won the MVP? Well, was that the last year they competed?
Pretty much, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you start looking at these teams and you just got to wonder how long they can come on. I mean, somebody made a good point about the Cubs being the fact that, you know, they bought up all that stuff across the street from Wrigley. You know, what kind of financial position are they going to end up in? I don't think it would be as bad as the smaller market teams because, for whatever reason, good or bad, the people show up at Wrigley Field. You know, it's an attraction to go there, and the neighborhood is fantastic to hang out in. So people are going to go to Cub games. But, you know, they're another team that's looking to take a pretty big hit with, you know, the hotel and the rooftops, and, you know, they did all the new construction. So, there, you know, I think there's going to be some teams out there that are going to run into a lot of trouble. And, you know, maybe not only have to let some high-priced players walk away, Chris Bryant, but, you know, they might have to do some, you know, things that, you know, might be a little different or off that we're not used to seeing to try to keep it going.
Well, you know, and that would totally fit the Ricketts-Theo narrative.
You know, and again, it's just going to build into that excuse of if we get a year and these players are granted free agency, you know, and it comes to that time for them to go, well, you know, I want my $300 million over 10 years, and the owner just laughs at them because we don't have it. And here's why we don't have it. I lost all this money. You know, here it is. You want to see my books? Here's a big bunch of negative books for you.
So, in the end, would you say you kind of agree with the players' union that they need to put that out there? And, I, to be honest, I don't think that should not be public, you know, if we can get, like, a special media pass maybe we could view it, but you know, I don't think that should be for you and I. It should be for really anybody in the media. It should be something that can do, you know, between the owners and the just the players' union.
Yeah, you know, if the owners' group sat down with Tony Clark, who's the head of the players' union, and maybe a couple of his executives, and it stayed in that bubble and nobody else found mm-hmm. out about it, which, as we know, is almost impossible to do, I wouldn't have a problem with that if I was an owner. You know, my problem, of course, would be, well, I'm going to give you this information, and you're immediately going to run to the media with it. Oh, well, here's what they said, but here's what really happened. So, you know, that would be my concern as an owner, you know, if you could guarantee my privacy, because, you know, in reality, I mean, we don't need to know what this owner makes outside of baseball. You know, that's kind of his private business. You know, I mean, like, they, you know, they don't ask you what you're making, or, you know, your wife or me or, you know, Schomburg Stu, who's retired. So, you know, and, you know, I mean, you know, to be fair, why doesn't the players' union have to open up their books?
I guess I was under no assumption of that they would have books. So
well, you know, they get paid to represent the players. You know, I mean, a chunk of my salary every week goes to my union for dues. So I would assume that the baseball players are doing the same thing out of their salaries. You know, I'm sure they're paying those guys to represent them. So, you know, what does their money, what do they do with their money? You know, I mean, unfortunately, we found out what my union does with my money the last time we went on strike, and all the money we put in the strike fund had been embezzled. So, you know, we know what, you know, we know where, you know, that it was $4 or $5 million just disappeared. So I get where that money goes. Are the players' union crooks like that? So, you know, I mean, that's one of those things that, you know, seems kind of weird. It's like, well, we want to know this and this and this about you, but I'm not going to tell you anything about me.
Mm-hmm. I never thought of it that way.
You know, it kind of sounds like the worst blind date ever, huh? Well, here, this is what I do, blah, 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 blah. What do you do? Oh, nothing. Oh, okay, great. Thanks. So... But yeah, I don't. You know, who knows what they're gonna, you know, what they're gonna end up doing or how they're gonna end up working it out. But they need to, you know, if they're really serious about that July 4th deadline, they need to get going. You know, I know, you know, the players. The players' promotion, you know, proposal had the more games, the 100 games, and no pay cuts, which, of course, is a surprise. So maybe they can start working on an agreement that meets closer to the middle now that we've been way out on the edges for both sides. But I don't know. I mean, the more I look at it, I'm starting to kind of develop that fear that we're not going to get a baseball season.
Oh, I hate to say accept the fact.
Yeah.
I've accepted that the DH will be universal.
Yeah. So, you know, and, you know, I mean, then the question becomes, you know, remember how hard it was for baseball to bounce back from that strike? You know, I mean, they had to allow players to take anything they could to hit home runs, you know, to get a little attention. If they miss an entire, you know, if they miss an entire year, do they bury the game? you know, because, I mean, to be fair, it's struggling a little bit with the younger demographic anyways, because God forbid they pay attention to something for more than 5 or 10 minutes. You know, does a missed season bury it?
It definitely helps with a decline. And then, you know, with a situation like that, it just rolls back to what you said earlier. You know, when do you start removing teams?
Right.
Sad as that sounds.
You know, because for years I had always heard how, you know, well, you know, hockey's not really a major sport. They shouldn't count, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, they've managed to hang on. And, you know, I mean, like, I still consider hockey the fourth major. You know, do you start to wonder if maybe baseball slips down to that level where we're looking at it going, oh, yeah, great, it's baseball, but it's no longer a major sport?
Well, what would you say would help determine that? Is it losing their spot on Monday Night Baseball?
Well, you know, I think what determines it is if the people come back. You know, will the fans continue to go to games? Will they continue to watch on TV? You know, because obviously every day they don't play gives somebody an opportunity to find something else they like to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just never know. I mean, for the first time in, Dan, I'm guessing probably 20 years last night, I did something that I hadn't done. I recorded wrestling.
What?
Yeah. I actually enjoy the AEW program so much that I recorded it last night. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to watch it when you and I get done with the podcast. So, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, and I figure if I play my cards right, that'll take me right up to the start of the NASCAR race. So, but yeah, I mean, I honestly couldn't tell you the last time I, you know, there were some times I had recorded Raw and then I never ended up watching it, you know, before I moved out to where I'm living at right now. So that was probably 15 years ago, but yeah, I mean, I recorded this last night and I'm actually planning on watching it tonight. So, you know, and I mean, that's huge for me because I haven't cared about this and I don't know how long, you know, and if I can find something else, God, you got to think there's everybody else is out there finding something else. So, you know, you've got to wonder, and I mean, I do honestly think if there was a baseball game, I wouldn't be recording this, but not everybody is in, you know, the department where you and I are who will watch a game, put one on his computer, put one on his tablet, and put one on his other TV, even if it's in the other room. You know, there aren't too many people like that anymore. So I don't know where the game goes. And I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised to see it drastically decline. And, you know, we're looking at it as, oh, yeah, hey, did you know there was a baseball game on? Oh, yeah, I forgot to even watch. What happened?
So, we have about 15 minutes here, I think. This is going to take you off on another kind of journey, I guess you could say. But so this is all resolved, let's just say, and unfortunately the season isn't going to play out. You know, we're off a year, and it's come time, it's around, you know, we missed this season, so we're coming up to the, you know, the winter meetings, maybe the GM meetings prior to that, but, you know, that November, December time when, you know, the stuff starts kind of buzzing for baseball because whatever. So you got to that point. We haven't had a season all year. Couldn't come to an agreement. Finally did, you know, in like July or August, whatever. You know, they've already made those changes to the rules, you know, the universal DH, the added player, you know, things like that. What do you have to do now? You know, what stays? You know, does everything stay? Does the DH stay because you've lost out on the season and you need something to get it back? Do you move some teams around real quick, you know, finally put a team in Montreal or, you know, schedule that for the 2022 season, kind of take Tampa out, take Oakland out and put Oakland in somewhere else in Texas. I'm sure it'll work. No, you know, put the A's down in Mexico. You know, what do you do? What do you see or what would you even like to see? Because, you know, are we reducing the games too, you know, per season? Do we finally get that enacted?
Yeah. Well, remember, Oakland's in line for a new ballpark, so they're going to do everything they can to keep them there. I don't know if it's 22 or 23. They're supposed to have a new ballpark. So they'll do everything they can to keep a team in Oakland. But, you know, and I mean, you and I have said it. You even mentioned it earlier that your understanding of the fact that the DH is going to be here to stay. You know, once the DH gets in, you know, like if they play this year and we have a DH, we're not getting rid of it. It's just here forever. That's just how it's going to go. If they don't have a season, then we're going to have to wait for the next collective bargaining agreement, unless it's something that just happens to end up getting negotiated in, you know, while they're working this out, which is, you know, it is possible. You know, the owners can say, hey, well, we'll give you the DH if you give us, you know, blah, 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 and they make the trade-off. So I think you and I have both come to the understanding that eventually we're going to get the DH universally. You know, there's just no issue with that. You know, I know, you know, and again, you know, stuff you and I talked about last year, we know they want to put a team back in Montreal. It's just, will it be a new team, which I doubt now with everything going on? Or, you know, will it be a pre-existing team? Will they be able to move, you know, Tampa Bay and make them the Montreal Expos? Or, you know, I don't know if there's really another team with the option like that. I think it's kind of got to be Tampa Bay or nobody to, you know, to kind of make that move.
Pretty much.
You know, because, you know, like I said, Oakland's not going anywhere. You know, and like even some, like, you know, I know Cleveland doesn't draw flies, but they're not going anywhere. You know, Miami doesn't draw, but I don't think they, you know, I don't think that's because of the team. I think it's because of the team is bad. You know, I think if the team improves, they would draw better. So, yeah, I you know, I think it's Tampa Bay or nobody. But, yeah, other than that, I don't see them making too many changes. You know, I don't think the owners would agree to a permanent roster expansion because that would be another major league salary. And, you know, with the way you're able to move guys up and down from the minors, it's not that big a deal. But, yeah, I think those are kind of the, you know, the big issues. You know, the DH will be universal, and will we get a team to move to Montreal? And I don't know about the Montreal thing, but I think the DH is going to be one way or the other. We're going to get the DH.
Any fantasy, and not fantasy game, which I'm sure you got the email, our hockey season did end, and sadly neither you or I won or were randomly selected to win the league. Because we didn't deserve it. But I mean, you know, some of the things that, you know, especially over the last couple of years that you've noticed or anything you would like to change. You know, for me, I'll just throw it out there. It's the instant replay. It's still, I think, is decades behind where it should be. But, you know, you'll hear about that all season every time there's an instant replay, if there is a season. I won't bore everyone with that. But, you know, anything like fantasy-wise, in that essence, you know, that they're maybe not discussing that you'd like to see change.
You know what's weird is since all this has happened, I don't even care about fantasy anything. You know, I get emails from FanDuel every day wanting me to put in a Korean baseball lineup or do a NASCAR lineup. And, you know, this has really kind of dampened my affinity for fantasy sports.
Oh, I've actually either half.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I did is I went in and I pushed the baseball draft as far back as I could, which was like June 27th, because, you know, we had no choice. Obviously, we weren't going to draft not knowing what was going on. But that's the only thing I looked at. I mean, obviously, I read the hockey email, and I think my team was so bad this year, I think I got beat by a team that stopped playing about halfway through the season. So that's how bad my year went. I'm going to be disappointed when we get the email for basketball because I was going to make the playoffs for the first time ever. But, so that'll be a little disappointing there. But, yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, if we didn't do fantasy baseball this year, I wouldn't care. And I just don't know. It's really just dampened the excitement for me. You know, when it comes to thinking about it and, because obviously we're going to have a football season. You know, there's mm-hmm. there's pretty much no doubt about that. Even if there aren't fans in the stands, they're going to play. They've already said that. And I'm to the point where I don't even care about that. And, you know, I know that's going to happen. And, you know, that's weird for me to say, but that's just kind of how this has developed for me. And it's weird, but it's tiring, I guess, is the best way to look at it, because there's nothing new. You know, I mean, the only developments we've had to talk about are these last couple of proposals. But other than that, I mean, what's been new with the exception of NASCAR? You know, nobody else is doing anything. It does look like the NHL has a plan, but, you know, we don't know when and where that's actually going to start. They said July 1st, but that's not guaranteed. You know, the NBA isn't telling anybody anything. So, you know, it's hard to stay interested.
And I'm sorry, they just need to give up already with the NBA. Just get into your summer league.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, you know, and I mean, you know, if they want to go ahead and do what hockey's doing and have a playoff and, you know, do whatever you got to do to, you know, to get, whatever that goes through, that's great. Yeah, you know, I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, I mean, you know, figure something out and, you know, let's stop kind of jerking everybody around.
So you're canceling the league or you're not canceling the league?
No, I mean, I'm not going to cancel it. At this point, we probably just should cancel it because God only knows when we're going to get to actually play it. But, you know, we'll see what happens. And it's difficult to describe. I mean, there just hasn't been any excitement, and maybe when they finally get something announced and I can see an actual sport, I'll be a little more excited.
Well, I guess this is kind of a crazy one off the bat, but are you surprised with everything not going on that we haven't seen any like talks or movement in baseball? Or has that been put on hold?
You know, I, it's so hard to kind of figure out where everybody is at with it, you know. And I mean, it's more, you know, I mean, like what I was kind of more interested in is how come we didn't end up getting more football players signed? You know, like Cam Newton is still out there looking for a job. You can't tell me he's not a better quarterback than Mitch Trubisky or Nick Foles, but you know, he doesn't have a job. So, you know, I was kind of wondering more football wise, why, you know, we haven't seen some of these guys come through and get, you know, even if it's just a 1 year deal, you know, why some of these guys who are definitely talented and can play in the league just can't get jobs. You know, and I guess there probably are some baseball players out there who are still, we're still looking to be signed that, you know, don't have work. I mean, you know, you could throw those guys in as well, but yeah, you know, that's kind of the, you know, the surprising thing. And I know for some reason, and this made no sense to me, the WNBA had to make cuts to their rosters, even though they hadn't had a practice and didn't see any of the new players they drafted. But they had to make cuts. And it's like, really? You couldn't put that, you couldn't push that date back? So, you know, because like I know I read that the team in Washington, which I believe are the Mystic, they just cut the two people they drafted because they had never seen them before. You know, they just had the what they had scouted and what they saw on tape. So they just let them go. And it was like, okay, well, why the hell did you have a draft then?
Yeah. Well, and it could be money, you know, money reasons why. Like if they're still there after the cut date, they get paid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's possible. And, you know, you do have to wonder, you know, can a league like the WNBA make it through this without playing games? You know, because, I mean, they're not the most financially stable league as it is. You know, can they make it through? I know that National Women's Soccer League is coming back. You know, part of the reason is because they need to get what little television money they can get, even though they're not going to admit that. Otherwise, they're going bankrupt. So, you know, you've got to wonder. I mean, I've seen various colleges cutting their smaller sports programs. You know, I know like a lot of the ones I've seen is the swimming team seems to be one that gets cut right away, you know, swimming and diving and stuff like that. There's a lot of teams that have, you know, a lot of schools that have done that because they need to save the money. So, you know, you have to wonder, you know, can a smaller league like the WNBA hang on? You know, and I know that's a big concern of yours. You'd hate to lose the WNBA, but.
I mean, if it wasn't so expensive.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, the music means that Dan and I are going to take off, and I'm actually very surprised that my internet held up for the whole hour, so I'm pretty happy about that. Now, remember, Dan is gone till Monday, so Schomburg Stu is here tomorrow, and we're here at 5 o'clock. While we're gone, you know the deal. SportsTimeRadio.com. Get over there, check out what's going on. Hit the link, follow it over to the Facebook page, and give that a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed, though, which is at SportsTimeRadio. Of course, Dan and I out there are out there on Twitter as well if you want to look us up. Hey, if you stop by and listen to us live, thank you for doing that. But remember, if you want to hear the podcast any other time, just head on over to TuneIn.com, and you can listen whenever you want.
SportsTimeRadio.com.